Freilich and Chanukah, Brishus the Rabbanim. So wonderful to be part of this learning tonight. I want to thank Rabbi Galler for putting this together. Recently, my kids have gotten to a stage where they're very into good guys and bad guys. Very into labeling who are the good guys, who are the bad guys. When I tell a story, when we learn Parsha together, they want to know who are the good guys and who are the bad guys. I like that concept. You know, for the rudimentary five-year-olds starting to have moral values, who's good, who's bad, I like it very much. Until I tell them, no third jelly donut, I'm the bad guy. I don't know. Somehow that comes out. But when I tell them about the Parsha, they want to know, but this new character, is he a good guy or a bad guy? I said, why don't we read the story and then we'll find out. No, we want to know who's the guy, who's the bad guy? I said, why does it matter now? They said, we want to know who's going to win. They have this impression, at this age it makes sense, that the good guys are always going to win. Now, we don't always see that playing out in this world. We see things we can't understand. We'd like to believe in the long run, it's the good guys who should come out on top. They should have that advantage because of their righteousness, their moral superiority. They should come out on top. But surprisingly, Alan Isim doesn't seem to put it that way. When describing the miracles of the war, we have a couple of descriptions of good guys and bad guys. And the first couple are easy to understand in terms of what the miracle is, what the Nisim and the Flaus and Purkan and Yeshuas that we're celebrating, and then things kind of shift. Masarta gibarim biyad chalashim. Hashem, you delivered the mighty in the hands of the weak. Okay, that's a real miracle. You wouldn't have expected the weak to defeat those who are more powerful. Verabim biyad miyatim. And the many in the hands of the few. Yeah, you would have expected the many to defeat the few. It's a miracle when the weaker and the smaller defeat the stronger and the bigger. What comes next? Utmeim biyad tahorim. Urishayim biyad tzadikim. Vizeidim biyad oskei sarasecha. The impure in the hands of the pure, the evil in the hands of the righteous, and the willful, disgusting sinners in the hands of those who spend their life learning Torah. That's a miracle? Wouldn't you have expected the good guys to win? Why is that a miracle? The same way we highlight the miracle of the many and the powerful in the hands of the few and the weak. With the exact same format, we seem to be surprised. And we seem to be grateful to the point of labeling it a miracle. But the good guys won? Aren't the good guys supposed to win? I've asked that question for the last 6 or 7 years. I find a context to ask that question. But this year especially, it hits home. Well, the Chana Wasserman, Kadosh Baruch Hu Yikam Damo, was killed by the Nazis, who really experienced evil in the face, has a beautiful explanation of this line. He says, yeah, it is a miracle. The same way it's a miracle that the Giborim and the Rabim are defeated by the Chalashim and the Miatim, it's also a surprising miracle that the Tzadikim, the Tahorim, the Oskei Sarasech are able to defeat those who use tactics that are rishus, that are willfully disgusting, the brutal monstrosity that we've seen. We shouldn't be able to compete with that. The enemies use tactics because they don't care. They don't value human life. They're willing to take hostages and to use human shields, and operate out of hospitals and schools. We're at a disadvantage, because we have a moral compass. When you're fighting against monsters, it's not a fair fight. They don't have the same sentiment that we have of fairness, and sentimentality, and compassion, and a value of life. Forget our own, for their own lives. They don't care. They don't care about life. They don't care about their innocence. They don't care about their little ones. They don't care. How are we supposed to fight with that? It's impossible. Mohana Wasserman said, that's a miracle. It's a miracle that the good guys win. When we're not able to use the tactics that they use, when we rise above and we can't respond how they respond, we don't do what they do. Despite the world's attempts to make moral equivalencies, or Shama Rurim, terrible. There's no equivalency. We can't match them. We would never want to match them. And the fact that we're able to stick to our values, to stick to our virtues and come out on top, ala nisim. That's a nace, just like being undersized and under-equipped, being chalash, being ma'at. It's also a handicap to operate with morality against an enemy that doesn't care. It's a miracle we have to celebrate. The rising to the occasion, living by a life of Torah values, especially at times of war, should put us at a disadvantage. But the fact that we stick to it and we come out victorious That's a nace worth celebrating at this time of year especially. But as we follow the news, as we follow what's going on with Achenu B'nai Yisrael, we have to keep this in mind. What a miracle it is to be able to stick to a Jewish army. Our brothers and sisters are amazing. So proud. So proud of those in the front lines, those who are directing, those who are behind the scenes, the citizens. We're so proud. We're so proud of our brothers and sisters who don't stoop to that level. They rise to the occasion. Tzadikim, Tahorim, Oskei Sarasecha. These are our fighters. And perhaps the different disadvantages, the ones you wouldn't expect to be successful without the Siyata Dishmaya, are really connected. The fact that we are Chalashim, the fact that we are Mi'atim, is probably in some way related to the fact that we are Tzadikim, that we are Tahorim, that we are Oskei Sarasecha. What makes us weaker? We're not weaker in any technological sense. No way. What makes us weaker is the fact that we have to operate with more scruples, that we have to face the world who raises questions of morality. It's hard for us. It's hard to work in that context. It handicaps our own abilities. Many have pointed out, if you look at the Torah's Parshios of war, in Parshas Shoftim, Parshas Ki Seitzin L'Mochama, the Torah describes certain sensitivities, certain ethical standards that are introduced at the time of war that you would never think about if you weren't a religious Jew. The context of the concept of Bal Tashchis, which according to our moms is the worst avera in the entire Torah. Bal Tashchis. Don't throw it out. There's a kid in Africa who would love to eat that pizza crust. Bal Tashchis. Where does Bal Tashchis come up? In the context of war. Torah gives us in Parshas Shoftim a command when you're surrounding a city, make sure not to chop down their fruit trees as a way of laying siege to the city. A startling concept. Being careful about trees? There's lives in the line over here. The Torah Tumima, in his commentary, Tosefes Bracha, says it specifically at times of war, where one can get the mistaken idea of anything goes at war. When lives are on the line, anything goes. Do whatever it takes. We go the other extreme, and we say, a living thing, trees, anything productive, doesn't have to be destroyed. Don't destroy it willy-nilly. Don't destroy it if it has some utility. You have to find a way to find the beauty in everything. And a person who has that mentality for trees, says the Torah Tumima, will of course have it for human beings on either side. But we don't just operate with blatant disregard for human life. Bali Musar points out, between those two parshios of war, in Shoftim and Kisetze, the Torah has the cryptic parsha of Egla Rufa. When one Jewish person or one person is found murdered between two cities, there's a whole investigation to figure out, can we figure out who murdered this person to raise awareness? Which city is closer? They come out, they have a whole ceremony. Why is the Torah put this here? The Bali Musar point out, because at times of war, you might think, okay, another life lost, no big deal, there's collateral damage. No, there's no collateral damage. No loss is acceptable. If one life is found, the person we don't know who this person is. If one life is lost, everything stops. Everyone has to come out, we're having a whole ceremony. There's no such thing as disposable lives. We don't work like that. Specifically at times of war, the Torah puts this mitzvah to teach us we have to rise up, and we do rise up. Am Yisrael is amazing. Our army is amazing. The level of sensitivity that we have that no one else has. Parshas Ki Tzeitzei, the Torah talks about times of war. Ki Hashem Elokecha Mishalech Bekerav Machanecha V'haya Machanecha Kadosh. Recognize these words? From a song. Every voice choir has a song about this. But they don't give you the context of that song. You know what the context is about that song? A Tum of a Torah about a person properly using the bathroom at times of war. They don't sing about that at my boys' choir. But the idea is even how we relieve ourselves, take care of the most base biological needs at times of war, especially. Ki Hashem Elokecha Mishalech B'Kerav Machanecha. Kadosh Baruch Hu is there. This is a Makom Hashchina. V'haya Machanecha Kadosh. Even the things you would think, okay, it's times of war. Who cares? Who cares where and how we use the restroom and take care of our physical needs? Torah says now, especially. When you're at a time of war, your machanecha is kadosh. Kadosh Baruch Hu is mishalech b'kerav machanecha. It's not just some mission. This is a righteous mission. A mission of Am Yisrael, of Eretz Yisrael, Medina Yisrael. Mission for Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kiddush Hashem. It's a special directive. And so the fact that we have to operate this way, we're limited to what we can cut down, where we could use the restroom. We have to stop everything every time a Jewish life is lost. It makes us weaker in a sense. Or you would think, should make us weaker because we're handicapped. We can't fight like they fight. We don't dispose of lives. We don't put people in harm's way. It seems to give them an advantage. We seem to be weaker because we're operating as tzaddikim, as tahorim, as oskei sarasechem. And being smaller as well, the Jewish army is smaller, aside from the Jewish people being small. You look at a map of all the Arab countries around us, and you think, why are they fighting over a little land the size of New Jersey? This is the one Jewish state. But aside from being the smallest people, Torah tells us in Parashat Shoftim how he chose the Jewish army. We gathered the Jews together, and Melchemes Mitzvah, like is going on right now, may be a little different, but just in terms of the value system from Melchemes Rishus, Torah talks about gathering Jews together, and there are several announcements. Who gets to go home from war? Who is dismissed? Person who built a house and hasn't had a chance to enjoy the house, you're dismissed from war. Person built a vineyard, planted a vineyard, started a new business, didn't get to enjoy the business yet, you're excused. Person who married a woman, didn't get a chance to live together, go home. And a person who is Yarev, Rach Levav, person who is of weak heart, they should go home as well. Mishnah and Sotan, Daf Mem Dalet has a machlokas, Tanaim, Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Yossi Haglili, how do you define that last term? To go home from war because they are Yarev, Rach Levav, they are fearful and of weak heart. What does that mean? Rabbi Akiva says quite simply, it means people who are scared. People who are not able to withstand the pressures of battle, people who are nervous and not going to be able to withstand the pressures of war, they should go home. Yossi Haglili says something amazing. Yossi Haglili says it refers to a person who is scared because of averos. A person doesn't feel that they're up to snuff. Their religious standards are not something they can feel confident about. They are yarev arach levav because they don't feel they have the right zechuyos. They don't have this high morality that the Jewish army demands. Yossi Haglili continues that the real exemption is this. The other ones are just a cover. Not to embarrass a person who wants to leave because they don't feel spiritually up to the task, but not to embarrass them by having to step out and say, I'm a sinner. We say you also can go home if you married someone new or started a new business or built a house. So as a cover, but really the ikker, according to Yossi Haglili, says the Mishnah, is for a person to say, I'm not spiritually up to the task of withstanding this idea. Most armies would want those kinds of people. The guys who would kill without thinking about it, the guys who had a terrible childhood, covered in tattoos, the rough and tough guys who eat whatever they want, say whatever they want. Don't armies want those people? We say we're not interested. We're smaller because we send those people home. We want the ones who are able to rise to that level of tzaddikim, of tahorim, of oskei sarasecha. And it makes us me'atim. Rav Shachter likes to say that in Palajan Yeshiva, they had a perm spiel every year. And one year, the perm spiel was about this idea, where they had soldiers up on stage, they had yeshiva students pretending to be soldiers, and they had this whole story, this whole joke, where the soldiers got together to fight in battle, and the person who was representing the calling would get up and say, all those who built a new house, and a couple of people go off the stage. And they say, and those who planted a vineyard, and go off the stage. And those who married a woman, go off the stage. And those who are afraid of their sins, go off the stage. And almost everyone gets off the stage, leaving behind the Shagas Aryeh, the Notab Yehuda, and the Pnei Yoshua. Long beards, hunched over rabbis carrying books. This is our army! Ha 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 ha. Chaim Soloveitchik was watching this perm spiel, and he said, you forgot the end of the story. So far, it's all correct, but the next stage is, and they win. Shagas Aryeh, and the Notab Yehuda, and the Pnei Yoshua win the war. The three of them, with the Gemaras, and the beards, and hunched over a Sefer, they win! It's all true, but they win. They're ma'atim, they're chalashim, but they're tzaddikim, they're tahorim, they're oskei sarasecha. That's our army. We shouldn't win. There's no way that works in the real world. But we're l'malam ha'teva. Kadosh Baruch Hu on our side, that's the Alanisim. Rabban b'yad mi'atim, Giborim b'yad chalashim, is related to Risham b'yad tzaddikim, Zaydim b'yad oskei sarasecha, Tameim b'yad tahorim. We look at the evilness, brutality of monsters. And we look at ourselves and we're so proud. We're so proud of our army. We're so proud of Am Yisrael, what we rise to. What's really stood out in this war has been the separation. There in Eretz Yisrael, but also here. The way we talk about things, our sensitivity to what's going on. We don't talk like they talk. We say by Asiyam, we contrast, Anu Mashkibim, Hei Mashkibim, Amelim, They're Amelim. We contrast, just the actions look the same, but they're not the same. How we protest isn't how they protest. We could have 300,000 people going to Washington. No fights break out. We're respectful to law enforcement, supporting each other. They don't protest like that. They don't protest like that. Despite whatever's going on, we don't call for genocide. They do, in the right context. Only in the right context they call for genocide. We don't talk like that. We don't talk like that. A friend of mine told me, he's a PT, he works in Mount Sinai Hospital. So right middle of October, soon after this war started, he was speaking to a custodian in the hospital, someone for whom English was not the person's first language. And the man got all excited when he saw my friend. He said, "Oh, you're Jewish." "So I'm Jewish." He said, "I'm so sorry what's happening to your people." "Thank you very much." He said, "I think it's just terrible what these Palestinians are doing. Just terrible." He said, "Someone should take all these Palestinians and ship them back to Palestine." That's what he said. On a more serious note, I've heard from a couple of friends of mine who are mechanchim and yeshivas, who said that sometimes they had to bring the kids aside for a talk. Because some of the kids were sharing ideas that we understand where it comes from. "We're going to reduce Gaza to a parking lot." There's no moral equivalency here. We're not shedding tears over our enemies who use their own civilians as shields. We don't have any love lost. But again, the way that we talk, the way that we celebrate, we don't celebrate death like they celebrate death. We're not flippant about death. We're not flippant about loss of life. This is a very serious issue. And the sensitivity, the morality that we have as we think about ways to minimize civilian casualties, when they don't care about their own civilians. They dress terrorists as civilians, they hide in hospitals and schools, they cry. There's no moral equivalency here. And they don't care. But to an extent, we care. We do everything we have to do. We're not apologetic, we're not embarrassed, we're so proud. At the same time, you can't compare. This is who we are. This is the high level of morality that we've risen to. The Torah demands from our army, and we've delivered. Our people, the way we daven, the way that we protest, the way that we raise awareness, the way that we talk, the way that we cheer, the way that we follow the news, the way that we cry and we send and we supply. There's no one like us. We're amazing, the most amazing people in the world. The reality is, even our celebration of Hanukkah is different than how they would celebrate a holiday like this. Rabbi Galar shared in the email just a couple days ago, Ben Nisim says, one of the Rishonim says, the name for the holiday, Hanukkah, Chanu b'chafei, we rested on the 25th day. Rabbi Galar quoted Rabbi Eliashiv Zatzal, who pointed out, we're not celebrating the war itself. We're not scared to fight wars when need be. We're so grateful to those who actually are on the front lines, for those who are fueling the Talmud Torah and Tefillah. We don't celebrate the death and destruction like they do. We celebrate the Chanu b'chafei, the ability to be free, the ability to engage in Torah and Eretz Yisrael, Medinat Yisrael, the ability to fight over elections. We want that back. Can we fight over elections again? Man, this is terrible. This is hard. We fight for that right to our country. We fight for that right to be free. We fight for that right to be Oskei Sarasecha. That's what we want. Every Jewish holiday is like that. The Megillah is very clear on Purim that for those who fought on the 13th, they celebrate Shachanu. They rested on the 14th day. We celebrate Purim on the 14th day. And for those in Shushan who fought the 13th and the 14th, when do they celebrate? On the 15th. We don't celebrate the day of destruction. It's a necessary evil in the world, and it breaks us apart that this has to happen. And we're not apologetic while we're doing it. But after the fact, it's not the death and destruction, the annihilation or devastation that we're celebrating. It's the ability to be free. The ability to be tahorim, tzadikim, oskei sarasecha. That's what separates us from the enemy. There's no comparison. No comparison at all. So I think about every year, this idea from Rabbi Chana Wasserman, Kadosh Baruch Hu Yikom Damo, who explained that the miracles that we're celebrating is not just on the front of being small, of being limited. It's the fact that we're small and we're limited because we have this high moral standard. And it should handicap us, b'derech hateva. We can't fight with the big boys if they're going to be using tech. But you know what? We win. Reb Chaim said, in order to be Yehudas, Neshagas Aryeh, and the Pnei Yeshuas, they win. Because they have Siyata Deshmaya. And it gives us the faith, it gives us the courage to continue in this way. They're trying to be mashkiach our Torah, and they say, forget morality, stoop to our level, come play in the mud. We say no, we rise above. With Siyata Deshmaya and our brave efforts of our Chayalim, we're going to win, and we're going to do it while remaining morally superior. We're not going to come down to your level. We may seem me'atim, we may seem to be chalashim, but the ikker is that we are tzadikim, we are tahorim, we are oskei sarasecha. For those who want to make a clear divide between good guys and bad guys, the divide here is very clear. As is the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu continues to reward the good guys, those who rise to the level of tzidkas, of sensitivity, appreciation for every single life, of the purity, the fact that our machanecha is kadosh, we rise to that challenge every single day, we pray in the Al Nisim, and we pray beyond Hanukkah as well, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu continue to give us not just the military victory, but the moral victory, the sense to remain true to our people, true to our Mesorah, true to our Torah, and continue to see Nisim v'Neflos every single day as we see Am Yisrael Chai.